This episode of HBR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HBR15. That's HBR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, this is Ahuka welcoming you to Hacker Public Radio and another exciting episode in our ongoing series on LibreOffice Calc. And in this particular episode, what I want to do is add to what we did last time. Last time we looked at descriptive statistical functions. This time I want to look on inferential statistical functions. And that should allow us to cover everything I want to do about statistics functions that are in Calc. Now, inferential statistics is what you do to say that something is likely or that it is not due to chance or things of that sort. It goes beyond simply describing what is in the numbers and lets you say something about what the numbers in a sample might mean for the population that generated the sample. There are several types of inferential statistics that I want to address in this tutorial, beginning with the idea of a confidence interval. This is a pretty simple thing, but useful. The idea is that in some population you are interested in, you draw a sample and use descriptive statistics to measure the sample. A common example is polling. The entire population of a country could be very expensive to measure, but a sample of, say, 1,000 is affordable and gives you some insight into the whole population. A confidence interval takes the sample measurement and gives a range of numbers based on that, which will most likely contain the true population measurement. To calculate this, you need three numbers, two of which we have already talked about in descriptive statistics. The first is the sample measurement, and for example, let's use the average. The second is the sample size, which in our sample data was 30 observations. The third parameter is the alpha. And alpha is the probability that you got the sample purely by chance from a population that is significantly different from what you say it is. It is, in short, the probability of being wrong in the inference you are drawing. Now, you could choose any value you want for alpha, but you should know that there are some industry standard values, and the most common one is 0.05, or 5%. This means that your inference will be wrong one time in 20. This is the most common value used in political polls, for example, which means that one poll in 20 will be simply wrong. Everyone in the industry knows this, and now you do too. To begin, select the confidence function in the function wizard. Enter the value of 0.05 for the alpha, whatever you got for the sample standard deviation in your numbers using the STDEV, and 30 for the N, or number of observations. It is important that you use the sample standard deviation to get an accurate number, which is why they use the STDEV function as the name on this field. Click OK, and you will get a number. In my case, I got 10.849. Now, to turn this into a confidence interval, I take my average, which was 49.078, and find the lower limit by subtracting 10.849 at the upper limit by adding 10.849. In my numbers, I get the result that I am 95% confident that the true population mean from which the sample was drawn is between 38.228 and 59.927. Now, that's a fairly broad range, but our sample size was only 30. If our sample size was 1,000, it would be a lot narrower. Now, the next major area of inferential statistics I want to address concerns statistical tests. And we won't be able to give a full description of the theory behind all of these tests, which is more properly addressed as part of a course in statistics. And as I said last time, there are colleges and universities that offer them, including free online courses. So if you're really interested in that sort of thing, there are ways to start acquiring that knowledge. But in general, statistical testing is about formulating a claim and then doing a calculation to see if it is likely to be true. Again, the likelihood of truth is something you can choose. The industry standard is usually 95%, but it is often expressed in a slightly different way as significant at the 0.05 level. This is just yet another way of saying that one time in 20 your results will be wrong. So, here are some common tests. F-test. For this, use the FTEST function. This compares two samples and asks what is the probability that the variance is the same in the populations from which they were drawn. For this, I created two columns of sample data in a way similar to how I created one column earlier for the descriptive statistics. Since both use the random function to get numbers between 0 and 100, it's not surprising that I got a 93% probability that they come from populations with the same variance. After all, I made up the data the same way. T-test. This compares the means of two samples and asks if they are in fact the same in the population. This takes several parameters. You need to have the two data distributions. In the background, calc is calculating both the mean and the variance for each. You need to have the mode, one-tailed or two-tailed, and the type. One, you would put in a 1 for paired, a 2 for two samples equal variance, or a 3 for two samples unequal variance. Next test is the chi-squared, C-H-I-T-E-S-T, as the name of the function. This is a test of whether two variables are independent of each other. For example, does knowing the political party a person votes for allow you to predict which church they belong to? If the answer is no, then they are independent. This means you need to have data where each of the variables is measured for every individual in the sample, and that we know the measurements for each individual. If you have this kind of data, just plug in the two data groups into the function. Z-test. This is one of the most common tests used in statistics, and one of the first introduced to students of the subject. This test compares a sample to a known population and asks if the sample is similar. For example, we might know that in general, a country of 30 million people has an average lifespan of 72 years with a standard deviation of 10 years. We get a sample of 30 people from a particular city in that country and get an average of 65 years. Is it likely that this represents a significant difference, or is it just random chance? And this is the kind of thing you can test with a Z-test. Now, the next thing I want to look at is something called regression. This is a technique that is used to estimate a relationship between two variables. The most common way is to look for a straight line that best fits the data, though there are also techniques that use curves, and calc has that built in as well. Essentially, what a linear regression does is to minimize the errors in the estimation. In the real world, if there is a relationship between two variables, it is rarely a pure relationship because other things are going on. And that means that the relationship you come up with in your model does not completely explain what is going on. You pick one variable, which you think is the cause, which is usually called either the independent variable or the explanatory variable. And the other variable is the effect, and it is called the dependent variable. The relationship you come up with takes the independent variable as an input and comes up with a predicted value for the dependent variable. The difference between the predicted value and what is actually measured is the error which this technique seeks to reduce. Again, you can get a lot more technical about this stuff, but that is best left to a course in statistics. An example of what we're talking about is the project I was given as a class assignment in my first year of graduate school in economics. We collected data on rents in the Ann Arbor area and on the distance of each apartment from the central campus. The economic model we had in mind postulated that the closer the apartment was to the central campus, the higher the rent. And we estimated a relationship using a linear regression technique. Not surprisingly, we found a fairly strong relationship. But equally important is that there are obviously other factors that affect the rent, such as the amenities, being near public transportation, and so on. In the example that I'm doing in my sample spreadsheet here, I'm using a very simple economic model. I gathered data on the growth rate of GDP of the United States by year, from 1933 to 2013. And the federal government budget deficit as a percent of GDP for the same years. I'm going to postulate a relationship between them. But which variable is independent and which is dependent here? It could go either way depending on how you look at it. But let's say that how fast or not the economy grows will determine the level of the deficit. This is not a course in economics. I just need an example to illustrate the technique. The first thing I usually do is get a scatter plot of the data to see if the data fits my ideas at all. I did it for this, and I got a chart, and there is a website, a web page in the show notes where you can go and look at this, and also, as I said, the spreadsheet that I created as an example for this lesson is also downloadable. All of this is in the show notes. So what a scatter plot is it takes all of these observations, plots them on a graph with one variable on the horizontal axis, the other on the vertical axis. The vertical one is the dependent variable, the horizontal one is the independent variable. You can sort of look at that cloud of data and sort of see, yeah, is there a line that goes through it? And in the one that I did, it sort of looks like, yeah, there's a line that goes up from left to right. Well, what else can I do? I can go back to this chart, the scatter plot that I did, and if I click on it to select it, I should see the eight handles. Okay, those are the little squares that are on the four corners and in the middle of the four sides. And those are the ones that you could click on and drag to change the size of the chart. So I call those the handles. Now, once I've selected it and I see the eight handles, if I right-click, I can select Edit. And then if I right-click on the dots in my chart, I get a Properties window. And in the Properties window, at the very top it says Format Data Series, then under that it says Insert Data Labels, and under that Insert Trend Line. And the trend line is the thing that I'm interested in here. Now note that that is going to bring up a window. If I select Trend Line, it then brings up a window that has properties, and I can select the type of trend line. And it's called Regression Type. And you have four options: linear, logarithmic, exponential, and power. Now the one I want here is linear, because that I said is what I was going for, but I mentioned earlier that there are other kinds of regression that use more complicated curves and what have you, and I said calc could do it. Now you can see, looking at it, you've got three options right here. So I'm going to select linear. If I click on that, then I get my same scatter plot, but now there's a straight line drawn through the middle of it that fits the data. And then off to the side, I see a little thing that says linear regression line, a little label, legend. Now, if we go back to where we put in the trend line, take a look at that box. So that at the top it was the type tab, and then regression type, linear, logarithmic, exponential, power. Underneath that, there's a section called equation, and two checkboxes. One checkbox is show the equation, and the other is show the coefficient of determination, which is the R squared. If we check those, what do we get? Well, now we go back and we have the scatter plot with the regression line drawn through it, and sort of superimposed on top of the scatter plot, we see the regression equation and the R squared. That's not really a terribly good place for it, in my view. It's really hard to read. But remember, in our discussion of charts, we talked about objects contained within objects. Well, go into edit mode, and you can select these numbers as a unit and drag them to the side where you've got white space, and it's a perfectly good place for them. So when I did it with my sample, what I got, the equation could be interpreted as saying that the deficit as a percent of GDP is equal to 15.299 times the GDP growth rate plus a constant of 1.123. And the R squared is something called the coefficient of determination, which is a statistical measure of how well the model fits the actual data. What is considered a good fit can vary according to the circumstances, but again, this is not a course in either statistics or economics. Of course, you can get these numbers from other functions as well. The regression equation really has two parts, the slope and the intercept. You can get each of those individually by calculating with functions called slope and intercept. Surprise! And then you also have the R squared, which is in a function called RSQ. So if you wanted to, you could individually calculate each one of these, but it's a lot more convenient to do it this way, I think. So over the last two tutorials, we've looked at some fairly common statistical functions and showed how they can be used. I will, one final time, say that the objective is not to provide an understanding of statistics. For that, you would need to take a course on the subject. All we're trying to do here is demonstrate that many of the statistical measures you might want to use can be calculated within LibreOffice Calc. I remember when I had to purchase a statistical package for a lot of money to get these capabilities, so getting them in an open source program is really great. The other thing I would emphasize is that the use of these functions is pretty standardized. Step one is to make sure you have the data, and you begin by checking the required arguments of the function. If you have these data on hand, you insert the function from the function wizard, point to the cells that contain your data, and the function will do the work. It really is that simple. So, I do have a spreadsheet that has all of this stuff on it. If you want to see the work that I did, you can download the spreadsheet, take a look at the link in the show notes. But for now, this is Ahuka signing off for Hacker Public Radio and reminding you, as always, to please support free software. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.